You may be seated. Sue, I want you to open up. Can you go, Bob, can you help her? I want Matthew 15, and I want verses 35 to 37. Matthew 15, 35 to 37. While that's happening, you received a card when you walked in. What I want you to do, I want you to fill out that card right now and tell me something that you're thankful for. And then Tristan and Jeff are going to come by and pick them up. And I just want you to fill out the card. Tell me someone something that you're thankful for. Tristan, Anne needs a card. Tristan, right now. Anne needs a card. Anne is heading right there. Debbie gave up her card. Please give her, give Debbie a card. Yeah, Matthew 15, 35 to 37. This is so funny. We want to read this, and there's no way we're here. Bob, don't worry about it. We'll do it the old-fashioned way. So let me read this gospel lesson to you, and then we're going to enter into some comments. It's Matthew 15, and it's 35 to 37. And you're going to see that this is the healing of the 4,000. So, and Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, "Seven and a few small fish." So he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And then Jesus took the seven loaves, and he took the fish, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate, and they were satisfied. And they took up seven baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. Now, I just want you to remember this verse, and we're going to, oh, there it is. And it came back that they all ate and they were satisfied. They all ate and they were satisfied. So I teach a class right now at Concordia on Pauline literature. That's the letters of Paul. And at the start, I'm doing the Epistle of the Philippians right now with this class. And what I, by the way, it's kind of a boring class because you end up going verse by verse through a Pauline epistle where when you read, like I taught last year, the Gospel of Luke and their stories, there's Jesus and stories. Stories are easier to teach than instruction. And so one of the days, I was starting Philippians and verses 3 to 5 say, "I thank my God in all remembrance of you." And so I said to them, I asked them to do three things. I said, one, I want you to tell me who you're thankful for. Second, why are you thankful? And third, how have you thanked them? So who are you thankful for? Why are you thankful? And then how have you thanked them? It was a good little exercise. Let me share a couple of these that they wrote. And then at the end of the message, I'm going to share some of your cards. One young lady said, my Nana. Growing up, she was the one of the biggest role models for me. She would babysit me every day before and after school. So we spent a lot of time together. She taught me a lot about life, relationships, and valuable lessons. And then she said this. I said, how do you thank her? I visit her grave every time I'm home. And I also journal about her and what I see in myself that she reminds me of. Isn't it interesting? Here's one from a young man. I would like to thank my dad. I would like to thank him because he has always supported me in anything I do, and I know he always has my best interest in mind. How have you thanked him? I have thanked him by being around him, just by being around him, and doing things he enjoys more than me. I do things he enjoys more than I do. And then he says this, like camping and putt-putt. Here's another one. Young man writes, my mother, She has done everything she could to help me get to where I am today. She has driven countless hours and miles to get me places for hockey, along with the time she has put into my well-being. She raised me with all the values to be a respectful person while always watching out for me. So how do you thank her? I call her almost every day. I tell her I love her. And in the future, I plan to help her out in life. Meaning, he's going to pay her bills. And he should. This young man said, my grandpa. Because he shows me what it's like to work through adversity and not give up when things get tough. There's always hard times, but it's what you make of it that leads to good. And how are you going to thank him? He says, by spending time with him and showing appreciation for all that they, Grandma and Grandpa, all that they have done for me. And this last one is a young lady that I've had in three classes. By the way, I don't think it's good ever to have an instructor in three classes. You can only hear so many stories, and she knows my temperament and my behavior, but she keeps taking me. She is on crutches, and she's disabled, and she has been since birth. I said, who do you thank? She said, my mom. Why? Why do you want to thank her? Because there must be something heartbreaking in having to teach your daughter to walk again every summer after surgery. The unconditional love of a parent has truly been put to the test. I said, how have you thanked her? Tristan, you know her. This is McKinley. McKinley's got a little bit of a sarcastic edge. She goes, verbally, duh. I tell her I love her. By trying to prove that the effort is worth it. By trying to prove that the effort is worth it. I admit that last one is really striking to me. Here's a young lady who's had multiple leg surgeries, and her mom has to reteach her to walk every summer. Today, the young woman is still in crutches. She will never walk without crutches. And she has a will of persistence that, frankly, I hold in awe. I admire this young McKinley. The three lessons today that we've heard, each of them is a story in their own right. Each of them is a story of gratefulness. They know who they are thankful for when you read the stories. They know why they're thankful, and they are demonstrating that thankfulness. In Deuteronomy, Moses is nearing the end of his life. Deuteronomy, when you read it, is a legacy book. He wants to leave a message that will go beyond him. That's what legacy is. And all of us want to leave a legacy, be it we're young or we're old. All of us want to know that what we've done has been of value, right? Say amen. We all do. We all look at that. And oftentimes, for we who are older, we look at our grandchildren, our children, and we want to pour into them what we believe most deeply. That's what Moses is doing in the book of Deuteronomy. When you read chapter 8, you see that it goes through all of the experiences that Israel has had since they left Egypt. You remember the story. They were set free from slavery, and then God leads them for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses is clear, and he's very, very clear. Don't forget. Be grateful. He says this in verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and the hills. Now, we get water. I mean, Michigan is basically a swamp. So you got a lake on one side, a lake on the other side, with a few hills that stop the water from kind of connecting. So we kind of get water, but they didn't. In their world, they didn't get water because they were living in a desert. Water was scarce. And if you look at that verse, you see Moses painting a picture of hope. For the Lord your God is bringing you to a good land. And then, since they're wandering in the Negev desert, he says, look, the land you're going is a land with streams and pools of water and with springs flowing in the valleys and in the hills. At the end of our reading, he says this, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. I love that phrase. I love this verse. When you have eaten and are satisfied. What a great verse. It does beg the question for you and me, do we appreciate the stuff that God has given us? Do we take our homes, our cars, our clothing? Luther said it this way in his explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed. So the Apostles' Creed is divided into three chunks. Each chunk, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then each chunk has an explanation to what it means. Martin Luther wrote the explanation. Those are the articles. So first article, second article, third article. This is what Luther writes in the explanation to the first part of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses. He also gives me clothing and shoes and food and drink and house and home. That is Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's what he's talking about. And the question does say, do you and I appreciate that God is the one who pours the blessings down on us and we get to use the gift that he gives on us? Because we're going to use one after the worship is done. You're going to go out to your car. That just didn't happen out of nowhere. And the loss of appreciation of God granting that gift and believing that you deserve it is a terrible thing. And yet we have a whole world around us that believes they're entitled to their stuff. Or as one, I remember walking to the bank at one point, and the bank said this, you deserve a vacation. And it had a beautiful Caribbean beach. Now, I'm not opposed to Caribbean beaches. But you know what the bank was saying. Take a loan you deserve. You're entitled. That's how we tend to approach life, as if we deserve, as if it's something we've done, that we've accumulated. I would suggest that what Luther says is most certainly true. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that God has given me my body, my soul, my eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, my senses, my clothing and shoes. He has provided for us. And our second reading from from Philippians chapter 4. Paul is in prison in Rome. In that day, prisons didn't provide food. You were basically on your own. You were dependent on the people inside the jail, your friends, your family, to bring you food so that you had something to live on. You were extraordinarily dependent on their generosity. What we find is this church of Philippi is a congregation that's far away in northern Greece. Paul is in prison in Rome, Philippi in northern Greece, hundreds and hundreds of miles away. They have no means of transportation other than walking. And the church in Philippi hears that Paul is in jail. They hear of his plight. And you know what they do? They put together a financial gift. And without request, for that gift, sent the gift by messenger to Paul hundreds of miles away. Paul is sitting in prison when a guy named Epaphroditus shows up with a bag, literally a bag of money. And Paul writes this letter as a thank you letter. A really good thank you letter. We should think about how we write thank you notes. He writes in verse 15, "Not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only." Only you paid attention, and they were hundreds of miles away. It was a terrible statement because Rome had three major Christian congregations in that day. None of them reached out to help Paul. Nor did any other congregation he started. Remember, he started the church in Ephesus, the church in Corinth, the churches in Galatia. He started all those, church in Thessalonica. None of them sent a gift. One congregation sent a gift. It was a church in Philippi. The Philippians had a heart of generosity. Paul writes this in verse 18. "Your gifts," think of this, "are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." A fragrance, a beautiful aroma, a pleasant aroma, not like the smell of the gas in my car. And as I learned tonight, my wife has said my coat smells like gas. I have told her it doesn't. And Tristan confirmed, and so did Debbie, and so did Sue, that my coat smells like gas. I don't know if Gail is listening, but I hate it when she's right. That is a bad fragrance. A gift unsolicited is a wonderful gift. Maybe this year you are grateful for people around you who have been generous to you in unexpected ways. At the beginning of October, you're aware, many of you are aware, my wife Gail was seriously ill, and she was in intensive care for about a week. She literally, legitimately, nearly died. We were all caught completely off guard. We were in shock. Even at the time we were going through it, and any of you who have dealt with life-threatening sicknesses, you kind of walk with the deer in the headlights sort of look, and you're not quite sure what it all means. It's not getting down into the brain. It just kind of floats out there. And then after you're into this, and she came home, and we're starting to have follow-up appointments, and we're hearing from doctor after doctor that she was nearly gone. She didn't realize she was nearly gone because she was the one ill. I had heard it and I didn't know how to receive it, if that makes sense. What I do know is this: a few in this congregation, a few in this community wrote notes to Gail. We got cards. We got a few cards. And made an assurance to her that people in this community were praying for her. It was an unsolicited act of generosity. I call it the ministry of cards. There is something, and Tristan, young man who lives by email and text messages, there is a powerful ministry of cards. And I think it's something we should recapture. Those cards meant much to Gail. They meant as much to me. Unsolicited, graceful gestures of care. Because for the most part, you don't know my wife. You've seen her once in a while, but you don't know her. And yet you cared enough. There are people here who cared enough to write a card. So, yes, you may be grateful about stuff you've received. I think that's okay. Your house and home, the clothes, what Luther writes. We've been blessed with so much. And maybe this night you're grateful for people, certain people that have reached into your lives in expected and also unexpected ways. They've reached in and extended care. I'm moved by the gospel story from Matthew chapter 15. Jesus is teaching crowds of people, and if you look at chapter 14 and chapter 13, you'll find out that he's been doing all sorts of instruction. And as he's teaching the crowds, typical to any of us, the people were becoming hungry. Apparently it was evening, coming near to evening, and people needed to eat. This is not the feeding of the 5,000. This is called the feeding of the 4,000. So he's had two different major feedings of populations of people. And notice the language that he uses. He tells all the people to sit down. We know that the 4,000 he counted by men. And then he did this. He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks. See, there's the model. Jesus, the Son of God, gives thanks to the Father for the food that's been provided. In Jewish tradition, Jesus would have held the bread up over his head or up around eyesight, and he would have broken it. We know there were some fish. We know the bread was the size of a small disc, and it was usually pretty flat. It had some yeast, so it was leavened, but not a real big loaf where we would tend. Americans always do things big. You want a loaf of bread? We're going to give you a loaf of bread. You can make a house out of that bread. We do that, but not so in other places in the world. These were poor people with very simple lives, and their lunch was a disc of bread and some small fish. Jesus takes that bread and breaks it, and he gives thanks. He prays. What's one of the first things we try to do for our children when they start growing up? Yeah, we want them to pray, don't we? We do want to pray. So my little Flinny is now 4 and a half, and as soon as she could talk, we started teaching her. We have a certain dinner prayer we go. Thank you, Father, for this food. May it strengthen us to do your will. That's the prayer. At 4 and a half, she knows that when we sit down to eat as a family, she bows her little head, and we tell her to close her eyes because she is ready to eat. And we hear the little voice of that little girl. And yes, it is precious. Thank you, Father, for this food. May it strengthen us to do your will. And we're all joining her. And she knows that this is what our family does. Because all good gifts come from God above. We start telling our kids that young. God is provider, no different than Moses calling Israel to remember God's gift. Remember the verse in the beginning of the message? When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good he has given you. Man, I want to put that on my refrigerator. But look at how the story here in our gospel ends. Look how it ends. When Matthew writes it this way, and they all ate and were satisfied. Moses said, when you have eaten and are satisfied. Jesus says, they all ate and were satisfied. You see the puzzle, the beginning and the end. Wandering in the wilderness, the Son of God present. And they ate and were satisfied. And maybe that's the word tonight. God yearns for us to be satisfied. I think of it as contentment. The Apostle Paul writes this in Philippians. He says this, chapter 3, I have learned to be content in all circumstances. That's another way of saying they all ate and were satisfied. They were content. And satisfaction and contentment are most certainly the hand of God. So let's take a look at your cards. Would you guys go collect them? Let's take a look at them and see who you're thanking tonight. I'm thankful for living to the age I am. I am thankful to God Almighty. Yes. Age, by the way, is a gift from God. That's life. Yeah. Another beautiful day. It was a beautiful day. It was a great day. I put up Christmas lights, but we don't light them till after Thanksgiving. In spite of losses of loved ones, we know that God is still in charge and will bring us through. Thank you, Lord, for my husband who has been a rock, most especially this past year. I'm thankful to be able to gather with family and to be back walking in the Ann Arbor turkey trot. And oh, by the way, I'm also thankful for a husband that takes care of prepping the house. She was more interested in the turkey trot. My family, my Savior Jesus, Cross of Christ, friends, ooh, Pastor Dan, mom, dad, grandmas, grandpas, teachers, especially Verna, previous pastors, Sunday school teachers who taught me about Jesus and the Bible. I'm thankful for my church family and my husband and kids and my husband, mommy, blood mommy that birthed him, gifts of the people around us. I'm thankful for the peace of the Lord, that satisfaction, for my family, my wife, children, grandkids, parents, grandparents, my church family. Thankful for my niece, my sisters, and my work. Thankful for Jesus' love and mercy, family, good friends, health, all that I need, an opportunity to serve. Parents who were encouraging, loving, and forgiving, a faithful spouse, supportive and forgiving, wonderful children who forgave my poor parenting. Oh, goodness. We parents, man, we do the best we can. Thankful for my good health. Amen. Good Christian friends that love and support me. Amen. Time spent with my dad of 80 years. Time spent with my aunt of 91 years. Thankful for my husband, children, grandchildren, and siblings. Thankful for my house and belongings. Thankful for daily food. Thankful for my dog. And thank you for my nephews, family, friends, and music. Thankful for Sue. We know who that came from. College graduation, son, other son engaged, starting grad school. 3 of 4 parents entering into eternal life. And surviving, yes, Jeff, surviving a serious accident. Praise God, you're here. Amen. I'm thankful for God's patient, loving forgiveness, though I don't deserve it. Thankful for my wife. She makes my home a home and loves me in tangible ways daily. How? In countless small and large ways, making her breakfast, giving her my time every day to work, to demonstrate her value to me, try to let her never lose sight of her value to me and her beauty in my eyes. Amen. That I'm thankful to have been born in the United States. Me too. Where we're free to worship and celebrate freely as Christians. I'm thankful to have the love of and be able to love my wife, my kids, my grandkids, my brothers, and my sisters. My husband, who loves me just as I am, and family, including my church, my 2-year-old grandson, my family, and good health. See, we read these cards because ultimately it comes to this. It is easy to forget, easy to just get busy, and it does take a night like tonight to pause and to be thankful for the good life that God has gifted us with, the overwhelming blessings He pours out on us. In Jesus' name, amen.